I'm so glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you and that wallet that you're carrying. I want to make sure that you stretch every dollar. Coming up in just a few minutes in today's Clarkrageous Moment, Wells Fargo having to pay huge fines again, this time roughly $400 million. I'll fill you in on what they've been up to. This is a bank that just can't seem to do an honest business. And coming up later, I got news for you about fall travel, really good for your wallet. And I'll tell you what you need to know to cash in on the savings. So medicine in the United States, the way it's done is not sustainable. You know, if you think about the flashpoint between the political parties going back to last decade, continuing even to this moment, is what are we going to do about our inefficient, overpriced healthcare system in the United States, where we spend more than twice any other developed country share of our national wealth on healthcare and have worse lifespans than even a bunch of third world countries now. So the answers, I believe, are all about what's known as transparency, where you and I, as customers of the medical industry, know up front what we're going to pay for whatever it is we're getting, unless you're unconscious in an emergency room. We, right now, are in this impossible circumstance where we use medical services and only later find out what the bill is. Even if we have insurance, the bills we face could be back-breaking and lead to personal financial ruin. Now, there's a player in the industry that believes they have a real part to play, and that's CVS. Now, it's funny that I'm going to say nice things about CVS because I've always made fun of them, how expensive it is to buy stuff there. You know, that in any price survey, CVS is so expensive compared to other places you can buy convenience kind of items. But CVS is expanding an experiment that I told you about months ago called the Health Hub. And they're opening the Health Hub in a number of locations in a number of cities. In the states of Texas, Georgia, Florida, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. And that it will expand from those states to more and more locations in the communities that CVS serves in states they're already in and then in other states. What CVS is doing with the Health Hub is offering all under one roof a variety of medical services with all prices disclosed up front. Remember what I said a minute ago. Even if you have insurance, you can get hit with a variety of bill shocks. And if we're going to fix the cost problem in medicine, it has to start with you and me actually being able to truly be the customer. I haven't talked about an inside the beltway thing going on. It's been going on for a while, and it's about a fight going on behind the scenes with lobbyists from every part of the medical industry fighting against having to do true, clear disclosure of pricing to customers, you as patients, I call you a customer, and then employers who are buying healthcare services, that you would actually know up front the cost of anything that goes on in medicine, that would be required. And it would be based on your own insurance. If you have it, or if you don't have insurance, what it would be for you. Now, you know why the healthcare industry is fighting tooth and nail against this idea of disclosing prices, right? Because the second you disclose prices in a competitive market, prices fall for those services. Once people are able to price compare, they can see alternatives and choose on their own whether, well, I think it's worth more to go here, or I really don't think so. I'm going to go over there. And so CVS, I hope, turns into an enormous success with the health hubs that, again, will provide a variety. This is way beyond minute clinics. Provide a variety of medical services that they will put pressure on the industry, because people want to know. You want to know, are they going to make you insolvent with what that bill's going to be or not? Giving you the informed choice is what we got to do to bend this ridiculous price curve in healthcare in the United States. Derek is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Clark. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Derek. You have an airline mileage card.
Yes, that's correct. So I thought it was a good idea when I lived closer to the main hub of this airline to sign up for their mileage card, which I benefited greatly from. But I recently moved to an area where they don't really fly a whole lot. I have only flown them once in the last year. And I have a pretty good credit rating in the high 700s. But I know that my credit rating is based off of available credit. Am I better off paying the $95 yearly fee, or am I better off canceling the credit card? I don't want to hurt my credit.
Well, you gave me an either or. The choices were both lousy. Can I give an alternative?
Please do.
Why don't you get another card that more suits your life and dump this airline card? How many times a year do you fly?
Probably about 20 or 30.
All right. Well, then you should, you either love travel or you have to do it a lot for work. Which is it?
A little bit of both.
Great. So you're a great candidate to have an airline reward card, either an independent or one that's tied into a specific airline. Do you have
tied into a specific airline right now, but they just don't fly my area anymore. So that's, I'm thinking about, I need to get rid of that card, but I don't want to hurt my credit card rating.
Yeah, so you're not gonna, I would replace it with one of the general airline cards, like the Capital One Venture, or Chase has a variety of them that are multi-airline cards where you earn points that you can use on any airline. Barclays has one that is pretty simple, but seems to have the highest earning rate on it.
Okay.
And all these will have a variety of offerings at similar annual fees to what you have right now. But if you want to pay no annual fee, let me give you another alternative. I love the Citi Double Cash card. And what it does is it pays you a flat 2% cash back on everything you do.
Okay.
So you don't have to use it for travel. You can use it for any purpose. A lot of times people like an airline card, even if the Citi Double Cash or the Fidelity Investments equivalent 2% cashback cards, even if the cashback would be better, there's something for people who love to travel that makes the travel card seem really exciting. The good thing with these travel cards, though, is there are so many sign-up bonuses that you'll be able, just for signing up, you'll be able to get a couple of free trips out of the card just for sign-up.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. But do you recommend that I cancel the credit card that I don't use anymore?
Yeah, but I'm saying I want you to apply for another one first.
Got it.
Get that. Then you've dealt with the credit limit issue. You don't have to worry. It's not going to harm your credit. You're still going to earn points, but points that can be used on a variety of airlines. And then you dump this card that you can't use, that's not valuable in your life anymore, and get that annual fee out of your life.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Sure. I hope that helps, and enjoy your new city.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Ashley's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Ashley.
Oh, hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Ashley. You're looking out for your brother, huh?
Yes. So he's 9 years old. We're 18 years apart. So, so I'm now helping his parents think about ways to save for college. Now we live in the state of Maryland, which is your needs to improve. It's on your needs to improve list as far as the 529 plans go. But I'm also I'm getting ready to move to California. And I kind of just wanted to understand the difference in plans. I know that, the California fees are lower, but in Maryland, is it, should I take the state deduction? Is it better to take the state deduction if it's offered in my state? Want to know on what basis do you compare it?
So first of all, you're an outstanding sister doing this for your young brother.
Thank you.
It's really neat. And on the question of the 529s, what are the odds your brother's going to college?
Very high.
Like nearly 100%?
Nearly 100%, yes.
Okay, so doing the 529 for him is really a wonderful thing as a sister for you to do.
Yeah.
So I would keep it simple. California's plan's a very low-cost plan, and mm-hmm. you're moving to California anyway. You can open that one, just have him as the beneficiary of it.
Yeah.
There is another strategy you could use, and that is, are you funding your own Roth IRA?
I am.
And are you maxing it?
I will be. That's the goal for this year.
Great. Okay. So then I would do what you're already planning to do with the Roth and then do the 529 for him and just go in the age-based portfolio in the California plan.
Yeah.
And do you know why I was asking about the Roth?
Tell me why.
Okay. Because what I was going to suggest is that if you were not maxing out the Roth and you weren't gonna, instead of putting money in the 529, I would have had you put it in the Roth because that gives you more flexibility. But I'd rather that money just be there since you're intending to get $6,000 in it in a year and have that for your retirement. Go ahead and do that. Put in whatever money for your brother you want to put in the California 529, and you're good to go.
So is taking money out of the Roth, is that for education, is that non-penalty?
Yeah, so this is the cool thing with Roth. You at any time can take out your contributions tax and penalty free. Can't take out any earnings, but you can take out your contributions for any purpose, any reason. So in your case, because you're fully funding that and using that for your own retirement, I don't want you to do that game.
Right, yeah.
But that's why the Roth provides an extra element of flexibility that you don't have with the 529. That's why, remember I said, how sure are you that your 9-year-old brother's going to college? Because then it's a tax time bomb. If he doesn't, no such tax time bomb exists with the Roth IRA.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now: getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So, just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's Clarkrageous Moment is about a company that has starred in more Clarkrageous Moments than all other companies in America. It is that criminal enterprise impersonating a bank, Wells Fargo.
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clark Regis moment.
I don't know how in the world this giant bank went so far to the wrong side of the law in so many different areas. It's not like it's been isolated. Wells Fargo has been a dirty, rotten, corrupt, terrible, criminal enterprise. And the bad news just keeps rolling on. The latest, Wells is having to pay in a class action lawsuit what's going to be somewhere between $400 and $500 million over an 11-year ongoing criminal conspiracy, stealing money from their auto loan borrowers. It is unbelievable what Wells Fargo was doing, repossessing people's vehicles that should not have been repossessed, charging people for insurance they didn't need, didn't ask for, didn't buy. This is despicable behavior on the part of Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo has been under a tight federal collar, preventing their ability to grow because of the continuing scandals that have engulfed it. We are creatures of habit with banking. And Wells Fargo, surprisingly, has had almost no loss of customers. And maybe with new leadership, Wells Fargo will get its act together. But the history is very poor. The crimes that Wells has committed are reprehensible. The loss of trust, unbelievable. And I want you to know that you got to be very careful doing business with these people. Maybe they will clean up their act. Maybe. We'll see with time. But you have so many choices of where to put your money. And why would you put it with an institution that has continued in so many ways to behave so badly? It's not that hard to switch a financial institution. Glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about your empowerment with knowledge so you can save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Clark.com is our main website. ClarkDeals.com is where we post deals for you all through the day, every day of the week, so you can get the best deals out there. Speaking of which, this is going to be a very inexpensive fall to travel. Whether you travel by car or by air, domestic or international, this is going to be a fall travel season with a lot of deals. I mean, here we are just out from the 4th of July, and I'm already talking about the fall. I know that you're supposed to stay in the present and enjoy the present, but gosh, I just got to tell you that when the clock ticks to fall, we're going to have a lot of deals. You're going to see the deals really start to appear in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And you're going to see a bunch of sales that will allow travel if you are interested in going to Europe, with travel dates starting in late August. And the deals are going to be so good this year for a number of reasons. One, economies around the world are slowing. Not a good thing, but it generates better deals in travel because travel, so much of it is completely discretionary. Nobody has to go somewhere and do something. And so we're going to have these bargains. Now, we always have bargains in the fall to the Caribbean. That's just part of the math equation about how it works. It's off season. A lot of islands being prone to hurricanes that steers people away. Kids being back in school steers them away. Weather being so pretty in so much of the U.S. through the fall people aren't really interested in going to Fun in the Sun. Lots of reasons. But other places that are going to be better deals than would be normal in the fall because of the economic slowdown. Especially deals to Asia are going to be extraordinarily cheap this fall. Especially for people who live on the West Coast. Very, very, very inexpensive deals. You can use the Kayak Explore tool as we move later into summer to see what kind of deals are out there around the world and also within the United States. With Kayak, if you go to this web address, kayak.com/explore, put your principal departure point city in there, and then you will be able to either select a travel period or just leave it open and move the mouse around the world, and you will see the lowest deals available right now to various places around the world. And so it's a great way to follow my key travel rule, which is you buy the deal that's out there and then figure out why you want to go there instead of picking a destination and then looking for a deal. Surprisingly, from a number of cities around the country, there have been deals for this fall to Europe in the 200s round trip. That's outstanding. And it is very unusual and is a clear sign of an economy that has gone back a gear or two, depending on where in the world we're talking about. Here in the United States, some amount of slowdown that hopefully we will get past and start growing our economy again nicely. We'll see. Mark is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Clark. How are you today?
Great. Thank you, Mark. How can I be of service to you?
Yes. So my wife and I purchased our home about 3.5 years ago with an FHA loan that unfortunately included the dreaded MIP. So we would like to refinance to get rid of that MIP, but we're not quite currently in a situation where we could do that. But our value on our home has increased significantly. So we would like to know, would it be worth it to pay for a new appraisal to lock in a higher value, just in case the value of the home drops again and we lose the equity that we've gained?
Okay, so that's an interesting scenario you paint. That appraisal will not help you if you're doing it on the prospect that at some later date you'll take out a refi. It has to be within the refinance process that you'd be in. So let me understand, you have a lot more equity on paper now. You should be able to appraise out. Why do you think it would not be a good time to refi right now?
Because we wouldn't quite get to that 20% to appraise out. We would only probably get to about 17 to 19% equity.
You're okay. You're okay.
Okay.
Because you can do an 80-10-10 loan or an 80-5-15. Are you familiar with those?
Mildly, but...
All right, so let me tell you how they work. So the key to get the good deal with no PMI, private mortgage insurance, on a conventional loan is to show equity of 20%. So you're going to be short of that some amount, depending on the appraisals that the lender would do, the appraisal they would choose. And so if you have at least 10% equity, you can do an 80% first mortgage and then do a second mortgage, depending on what you'd need, for 5 or 10%. Of the value of the home. And that would be your priority, is as you can over time to pay that off as quickly as you can. But you'd have that 80% first mortgage that would be at the low market rates we have now, and you would be avoiding the private mortgage insurance.
Great.
So you have a little more closing costs because you're closing on two loans instead of one, but it's worth it because the massive savings are not paying the MIP that you have to pay now.
Awesome. That's great.
So on that second mortgage that you'd be taking out, depending on the lender product offered, it could be something that adjusts every so often or is fixed for a number of years and then goes to some kind of float. And that's why the priority needs to be over the years when that is in some level of fix, that you work hard to get that part of your mortgage paid off quicker than the normal period that you'd be allowed to pay it off.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Best of luck. And with the rates where they are right now and the value of your home where it is, I hope you can make this happen for yourself. Cammie's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Cammie.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Cammie. What's going on?
I've gotten this email from Capital One because I do have a card with them, and I've gotten it a few times, but I wasn't sure if it was a legitimate email, so I didn't click on anything or do nothing, but it's talking about the dark web that my personal information was found, and I have no idea what the dark web is and what
I can explain that in a second.
What I need to do.
Yeah, so what's Capital One wanting you to do with them?
It just tells me to go on to CreditWise. That's part of, you know, check your credit. That's through their site that you could do. And it to look to see what alerts it was.
Okay, so it's possible it's a legit message you're getting from Capital One, but I don't even want you to worry about that. If you sign into your Capital One account, you would be able to see if there was an alert like this.
Only if I go over to, which I haven't even touched the CreditWise thing because I was like, okay, if something's not right, I don't want to touch it and go that route with it. But I was like, okay, what is the dark web?
Thank you. I forgot to answer that. Okay, so the dark web is a catch-all term for the equivalent of message boards where crooks share people's information and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say they're trying to get a high limit credit card. And so that information is out there on somebody, you know, a card number to steal. They would pay so much money for it. Or they're looking for somebody's social security number. They would pay for it, although those don't go for very much these days. It's just an illicit information and trading platform for crooks. So I think that at this point, all of us have information of ours somewhere in the quote-unquote dark web.
Okay, because I just signed into it, and it says that a compromised email address is, and that there's over 10 of them on like 2 days.
Okay. So
that's on there.
Have you signed into your Capital One account?
That's what I'm doing on right now.
All right. And with it, you know there's part of that quote-unquote dashboard will be your CreditWise information. And it'll show you an approximation of your credit score, and you can click on it. It'll show you other information that they've been able to find about you. I think it's fine for you through your Capital One sign-in to do things. I just don't want you to click on or do anything through any email.
No, that's why I was like, you know, not touching it.
Yeah, so you've done the right thing. And again, that email may be legit from Capital One, but who cares? I don't want you ever clicking and responding.
My bank card's always getting compromised.
All of us. All of us are having that happen. I mean, it's just part of modern life that our credit information and other personal information is getting out there. Our cards get compromised. They have to issue us new numbers and all that. And so the credit card companies are trying to monitor what's going on with us. And they're already paying for it. So they're making it kind of like a service that's free at most issuers, where you're able to also see what's going on with your personal information. And that's why doing it through their website is the right way to go. But key rule, never, ever click on any link in any email that pretends to be from your bank, from your credit card company, from any company that you've done business with, because the emails can look authentic, maybe, but more often than not, aren't. Colin is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Colin. How you doing?
How are you?
great?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much. Hey, I've been listening to you since I was in my 20s, and I just wanted to tell you, you've made a real impact on my family's life, our financial future, and I can't say enough good things. And spread the good word of Clark Howard to anybody who will ever listen. In my 40s now, my wife and I are in a good position. We went to Duck PMI on our house and had to get an appraisal as a part of that process for listening to you, and found out that we have about $100,000 of equity in a $150,000 property. And just wanted to know what your play was. Should we sit on that? Should we try to move into a nicer home that more suits our growing family's needs? Or should we cash all that equity out and go on a cruise? I'm just kidding.
Definitely not that one. So, so the fact that you've got all this equity gives you kind of like gift certificate money to go look for a house that could be, is it one you feel could be your forever house and this one could not fill that role?
I could complicate this a little bit and say that we have a home business. We work out of our house, and we actually have people that come to our house from time to time to assist us in our business. So one of the things that we thought about doing is maybe leveraging that equity into getting a small office or purchasing an office or putting a down payment on a small office space.
Only if you would really need it. Because the advantage of you being able to use your home for two purposes is you're already paying for the home. So it makes your overhead for the business you're running from your home for rent essentially zero.
Correct. Yeah, we love that. I mean, there's definitely an advantage to that. So
I wouldn't change that unless it interferes with your family's privacy or lifestyle so much. There's no reason for you to create that overhead. So the move you would have to make would be really only if it was really much more appropriate for your lifestyle and your family and you could afford it, to use this as an opportunity to move to a new, nicer, bigger house. Otherwise, don't complicate your life.
We are in an area that's quickly growing, and the equity in our home obviously has risen, but the inflation into the housing prices in other communities around us has also risen. So I'm reluctant to swap laterally because we'd be buying at the top, and we're in the house that we're in right now so well. I'm just afraid that if we make a move like that, now all of a sudden, you know, we own this house that's at the top of the market, or maybe, you know, on the high side,
sure,
rather than where we got in on this one. So,
I mean, that's so hard to predict. I mean, what I hear from you is you feel like, hey, look, this is found money. What should we do with it? Just be grateful that your home value has grown, that you have so much equity, you were able to get rid of having to pay mortgage insurance, and just enjoy living in that home and running your business out of it at what essentially is very low overhead cost. I like what you got. It's time for Ask Clark. That's where you post a question for me at clark.com/ask. Then producer Joel asks your question for you.
All right, Clark. Sean's got a question. He says, what's the best and most reliable site for obtaining my credit score? I've been told that some of the most advertised reporting sites aren't all that accurate.
Okay, there is no such thing as a single credit score for any of us. You're referring, by what you said, I assume, to Credit Karma and Credit Sesame. The scores you see are an approximation of your score you'd have under the FICO system, which is the one most respected. But we have, each of us have dozens of different versions of our credit score, depending on which database they're drawing from, which credit bureau, which scoring model is being used, and for what type of borrowing we're looking at, whether it's for a car loan, a mortgage loan, credit card. It could be something like an insurance score. There are so many different types that what you're looking for is you're looking for an approximation of your credit health. And that you do get for free, updated every week from Credit Sesame and Credit Karma. Now, also with many credit cards, you have access, if you sign into your credit card company's website, you have access to an updated, normally it will be a FICO score that they have drawn from a particular credit bureau. And those are available to you for free as part of having that credit card. Something Discover started originally, and now most credit card companies offer to their customers. Again, for free. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at clark.com and clarkdeals.com.